All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Uncanny Valley. We're doing Tales from the Unending Void, which just came out on GOG. This guy, Perveteer Games, basically, he got pretty livid when itch.io was talking about basically getting rid of adult games and not paying the developers, and he basically took the option to buy the game. I mean, you can only download it, and it's not the Taboo Edition. The Taboo Edition is only available right now on Steam and GOG. So if you want it, you gotta get it there. And it's $14, and that's not bad because it's 12 episodes. It's long. This is Space. Yes, we've done Space with Lust Element. But we'll see if this one is, you know, a little better. I'm not familiar with Perveteer as much as I am with Bear in the Woods. So, I mean, it might be good. I like space stuff, and we'll see. Let's get started. Make sure I'm recording, right? Yeah. Location unknown. From what I've tasted of desire, I hold... Yeah, that's what it says here. From what I've tasted of desire, I hold with those who favor fire. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Length of the sidereal year, fixed star to fixed star, 365.26 days. Life's but a walking shadow, a red robin breast in a cage, puts all heaven in the rage, right? Petrus Palancius watched sea beams glitter in the ascension, 12 hour 36 mile, 25.46 seconds, declination, plus 62 degrees, 14 inches, 31.4... What? 11.09. We passed the school where children played, their lessons scarcely done. The all-beholding sun shall see no more. I woke to black flack and the nightmare fighters. She burned so brightly in the cleansing fire. In the dying light of triple suns, I hum a binary tune. My ears shatter as the great bear roars, and my feet touch dust and bone. As I walk across the field of ancient hubris and conceit. In the abyss of birds, when the auger strikes the anvil of Ingress, Hippolyta bursts the singularity, while chaos rides a metal workhorse. My desiccated mouth tastes of ashes, my aberrative mind shatters, as I absinthe and coalesce in the throes of supreme vicissitude. We'll get that one. I awaken, forever torn, between Tartarus and Coconiasis. I don't know. I'm not familiar with that one. I've heard enough. Burn it all at once, my lord. Oh no, he needs to have a better voice. I've heard enough. Burn it all at once, my lord. Tales from the Unending Void, Season 1. I don't know if it's more Star Trek or Star Wars. Location unknown. Captain's log. No. Space is a vast, cold place. Space is a fucking lonely place. Especially when you're floating around in a vac suit with just one bottle of oxygen left. Yeah, I was gonna say, space is not a place to be just floating around in either. Yeah, you're probably wondering how the fuck that happened. You know what? I'll tell you. It's not that I've got something better to do besides using up all my remaining air. It all started when I was having some fun on one of the moons of Kepler... XIV 14, Kepler 14. No, wait, I should start properly at the beginning. My name is Grim Auguste Valenman de Lamval, or just Mr. Grim, for those who know me a little better. I come from a long line of galactic nobility. Not that it's worth a damn, but having a title always impresses the ladies. Under the tender age of 16, I lived with my parents and my twin sisters in a mansion on Tuolovi, a small green planet orbiting Typhon, once poetically called HD10180B. The mansion was what you would call grand. A vision of what an 18th century European Rococo palace should look like in the modern age. Codex. We got a codex, guys. Terms! Terms are fun! Location, orbiting Typhon. Hydrus constellation, a small green planet orbiting Typhon, once poetically called HD... Yeah, we talked about that. Birthplace of Grimm. His mother, Eve, or Eve, yeah, they're calling her Eve, but it's just it's a Y. Okay, lives in the family mansion on the surface of Tuolovi. All right, we got it. Lots of synthetic marble, curly gilded ornaments, and far too many rooms. Again, I feel like Sir Patrick Stewart should be reading this. A mediocre architect's wet dream. Ours wasn't the largest house on Tuolovi, much to my father's ire, but that's what you get for wanting to live on a world with people, excuse me, for people with boatloads of money. So my father, Algeron Arlington Valenman de Lonville, de Lonval, not Lonville, wealthy bigwig of the trading and manufacturing company VL Co. The company has been in the family for ages, a successful venture passing from father to son. The money really started flowing in when August fully took over from my granddad. There are rumors about that money, though. Let's just say the incarnation of VLC Vilko, under the guidance of AAAAA Valenmundi Lonval, likes to operate in the morally gray areas of intergalactic trade. In his role as a fruitful entrepreneur, my father married a pop singer when he was really young. I guess everybody does stupid things during that time. During that time, boys sang more with their dicks than anything else. Lord, you'd almost forget this was an adult novel. Had to get some water. Anyway, that pop singer was my mother, Eve. She wasn't all that talented as an artist. Not like Maria Callas, Ella Fitzgerald, or even Britney Spears in her post-human period. But Mom had a small hit back in her heydays, and her share of fans, most of whom shared her bed sooner or later. I guess wealth also has its share of devotees, so my father never came home to an empty bed. Eve was never in it after we were born, that's for sure. Calling my mom and dad's marriage loveless is an understatement. Oh, Lord. You know what? There's a lot of this, and I think it may distract from the story, so we could read it all at the end of a video, you know? Calling my mom and dad's marriage loveless is an understatement, but my sisters and I were the product of it, so I guess it wasn't all that bad. I was mom and dad's first child, and my twin sisters soon followed. They're twins, but Eva and Lily couldn't be more different. Eva is what you call a kind soul. Not that she's soft or anything, she can hold her own in a fight, but she's so open and understanding. I don't think there's anybody who didn't like her back on Tuolovi. Eve and I were often mistaken for twins because we were always playing together when we were younger. Now Lily is a different story. People often say that her fiery hair matches her volatile character, and they're right. I would go even further and say she's a bitch, or was a bitch. I don't know. Let's just say Lily and I have a complicated relationship. The fact that mother and father mostly doted on her, the youngest of us three, while ignoring us mostly, didn't help at all. All the positive attention Lily got from Agus and Eve didn't change the fact that she, like me and Eva, was sent to the Terran Galactic Naval Academy in the Alpha Centauri at the age of 16. As the first to go, Eva and Lily followed a year later. Due to some unfortunate circumstances which might have involved insulting a senior officer, I was forced to repeat this first year. I actually didn't mind because I got to meet with my sisters again. We were still the youngest at the academy as most students enroll at age 18. But Agus and Eve made it very clear to us that they were very eager to see us gone as soon as legally possible. I was told Naval Academy would teach me some much needed discipline, but I'm not sure what the excuse was in Eva and Lily's case. At any rate, we were all very happy at the academy. We weren't! At any rate, we all weren't very happy at the academy. Eva originally dreamed of going to university to become a scientist, and Lily probably just wanted to stay on Tuolobi with Mommy and Daddy and annoy the living hell out of people. After 2 years of training, the Terran Galactic Navy traditionally sends its fresh recruits on a training expedition. Think of it as summer camp, but with heavy weapons training. We were flown by the battlecruiser... Holy shit. TGN Epotril, to a dreary moon in a system neighboring the Academy to do some humanitarian field work. That's when everything turned to total and utter shit. Location. Lanon P-10, Beta Centauri... Orbit. It all started innocently enough. As soon as E-Patrol was in the orbit of Lennon, Commander Zuzume ordered all recruits to the shuttle bay where transport to the surface of the moon was already waiting for us. Listen up, everyone. Today's your first real assignment. You've trained for this and you're ready. Or you better be. You'll be divided in groups and shuttled to Lanon P-10, where you'll be given your assignments. Contact with Mission Control is forbidden until completion of your assignment in case of absolute emergencies. Small injuries or homesickness do not count as valid reasons for reaching out to Mission Control. If you want to cry for Mommy or Daddy, do it at night when everyone else is asleep. Now your names will be called and you will assemble at the relevant shuttle. Good luck out there. Group Alpha. Vajalard, Kristeva, Butler, Kaufman. Commander Callista Suzume didn't like me from the start. It was very clear that she didn't like me as a naval cadet, nor as a friend to her son Kit and her daughter Celine. I don't know when and how I ended up on her shit list, but she made it clear that my name was up there in shiny golden letters on many occasions. Commander Suzume probably didn't appreciate that I like to play fast and loose with the rules at the academy from time to time. Like shaking up the group roster for a training mission. Group Kappa, Valenman de Lanval. E Valenman de Lanval. El Valen. What the? Valenman de Lanval. G Suzume. K Suzume. C and Von Skandersfeld. T. Get your asses to that shuttle. We'll talk about this organizational fuck up later, whomever's responsible. I think you managed to piss my mom off. Again. She didn't seem very happy, but I really wanted to do this first assignment with you guys. What the fuck did you do, Mr. Grimm? I may have persuaded a certain someone with considerable computer skills to change the group assignments. Okay, so if they're calling me Mr. Grimm, I'm going to have to change that. Just a little bit. Player names. Nickname? We'll just go with Grimm. Okay. I may have persuaded a certain someone with considerable computer skills to change the group assignments. You moron! There'll be hell to pay once we get back for you and her both. The commander made that much clear. Let's just board the shuttle. The others are already strapped in. By the way, how did fucking Thim end up with us? A coincidence or a touch of sadistic humor on my account of my... Excuse me. A coincidence or a touch of sadistic humor on account of my illustrious hacker. The shuttle brought us swiftly to the surface and left us in a clearing where we were supposed to set up our tents. Base camp, Kappa, Lanon P-10. Oh! Well. So I've mentioned Celine already, the commander's daughter and sister to Kit. You could say we had a thing for each other, which is probably one of the reasons her mother hated my guts. Hey, Grimlord. I understood from Kit that you got us all together on this mission. I did it for you, or I wanted everyone together. No, I don't really know all the girls yet. I mean, I don't know how this works out. I just wanted to do this with my friends. That doesn't explain them being here. He sure wasn't on my wish list. Maybe the local wildlife would devour him in his sleep. Let's pray for small miracles. You're enjoying yourself far too much, Grimlord. Isn't that obvious? The smile on your face is a dead giveaway. What can I say? I really like it when I can make things go my own way by doling out a little booze here and there. You're going to get into trouble. Commander Suzume made that much clear before we disembarked. I'm not really worried. Graduation's right around the corner. After that, Suzume won't have any hold over us anymore. Not so fast, brother. We need to accomplish this mission first. And there's always the possibility of us serving under the commander as ensigns after graduation. Horror. Better stock up on some more booze. Maybe you can bribe your way into an admiral. Maybe you can bribe your way into an admiralty. An admiralty. Yeah, becoming an admiral. Great idea. I'm not that familiar with these terms, you know. What now, Grimlord? You've got your way as always, and I have zero desire to talk to you. Just checking in. Have you read the mission brief already? Yes, and you? Not yet. You're not fishing for a summary of the brief, are you? Can't a guy just have a friendly chat with a girl? Yes, but you're my brother, and I know the shit you're up to, mostly. Read the mission brief for yourself and don't bother me. I've got things to do. Okay, then. I would have liked to say Lily wasn't always like that, but it seems she was always angry at something. Hey man, ready for some fun? Setting up a tent in this godforsaken place isn't my idea of fun, Kit. Well, maybe we'll get lucky and get to shoot something. Boy, you're really eager to massacre the locals. No, but maybe we can hunt some wildlife? I don't think there's time for that. Shame. Maybe when we get some downtime after this, we could go to that forest moon everybody's talking about. Shoot some deer? Trudging through the mud with a hunting rifle for several days? I think I'll pass. I just want a nice beach and several bikini-clad girls willing and eager to sit on my lap, preferably. Oh, that does sound nice. Sounds fun, too. Kit was the first friend I made at the academy and became one of my best friends. He even fucked up his exams on purpose in our first year so that we could stay in the same class together. A really stupid move, of course, but it all worked out in the end as we were joined by our sisters. Kit's interest veered towards the more extreme sports like mountaineering, paragliding, and martial arts. So much he was even considered for advanced training as a specialist instead of the officer track we were all preparing for. Whoops! Sorry, guys. This unhealthy appetite for dangerous athletics meant I often had to accompany him to some uninhabitable planet where we tried not to get killed while hanging from a single rope against a crater wall. Apart from the near-death experiences on barren worlds, we also had fun in the many bars and clubs on Alpha Centauri. Man, the amount of pussy we had during our furlough could fill a small space station. Talk to Thim, but I thought Thim was not well liked. Still, we're going to talk to him. Thim. Thim with a fucking H. I think it's fair to say we pretty much hated each other from the start. Remember my family descended from a long line of nobility? Well, Thim is fucking worse. Apparently he can trace his lineage to some European royal family dating back to the Middle Ages. Combine that fact with boundless arrogance and you've got Thim. Fuck off. Hello to you too. Looks like we'll have to share a tent together. I said, fuck off. We had some really great conversations, Thim and I. Truth is, he was popular in some circles and he sure wasn't a bad student. But for some reason, he was always hovering around my sisters, especially Eve and even Celine for a while, who all ignored him mostly. I guess that made him extra bitter. After setting up the tents and preparing a campfire, everyone gathered together. I had to read the mission brief first, so I arrived a little later when everyone had gotten into an argument already about what to do next. We should head out now, nip the problem in the bud right away. Are you crazy? It's getting dark soon. The locals can wait. The problem seems urgent. They've been coping with it for a few weeks already, so one night isn't going to be a problem, surely. We were tasked by Mission Control to investigate repeated attacks on cattle at a settlement a couple of miles from our campsite. The attacks were likely caused by a pack of animal predators coming from the nearby mountain range preying on the livestock. Nothing a few well-placed explosives or targeted rifle fire couldn't handle. Lily's right. We should catch some sleep first. We're no good to the locals in the middle of the night. The attacks are happening at night. You would have known if you'd even bothered to read the entire mission brief. I did read the entire brief. What do you want to do? Shoot up the place in the middle of the night when the beasts arrive to hunt for some farm animals? What if some dimwit from the settlement gets curious and steps into the firing line to see if Daisy, the prize-winning cow, isn't too stressed out by the whole ordeal? I vote we go in the morning and look for any tracks instead. Sounds reasonable. Okay, let's get some sleep then and show some serious heroics in the morning. I've already mentioned that the training expeditions were more like summer camp than actual heavy-duty missions. That's what you get when you send out a group of teenagers all on their own without direct oversight. My guess is that night, all over Lanon P-10, a lot of recruits experienced some very happy moments with each other. In preparation for the busy day ahead, Lily and Eva must have gone to bed early as they were already sleeping when I came by their tent. After being separated for over a year from my sisters, I was struck by their beauty when they finally joined me at the academy. When I left, both girls were typically lanky teenagers, but the Eva and Lily that greeted me on the first day of the new school year were powerful, gorgeous young women. Sure, Mom and Dad get the best gene treatments for their fetuses, but the well-toned bodies of my sisters were only in part due to modern-day genetics. I could have admired the exquisite curves of Lily's ass or the perky magnificence of Eva's breasts all night, but spying on family members in the middle of the night is still considered not done in human society. Celine was already fast asleep when I visited her, Kit snoring loudly next to her. I thought Celine and I had a thing going on, but after that day, her interest in me seemed to wane. She was a beautiful girl, though, a fact I was reminded of when I admired her lithe body in the artificial light of my lantern. As soon as my body hit the bedroll, I fell into a deep, dreamless sleep. We awoke early in the morning and broke up the tents, expecting that we wouldn't have to spend another night on Lanon. After a quick breakfast of the provided rations, we headed out to the settlement. According to the map, it shouldn't be far from here. I didn't notice those smoke plumes yesterday. Those stupid peasants are probably burning stuff to keep warm. There sure is a lot of smoke. Those are big fires. I doubt it's just a cooking fire. Let's leave our baggage here and get closer. What the? Are those people? Burnt to a fucking crisp. Show some fucking respect, Thim. It's a massacre. We should investigate, see if there's any survivors. Not so fast. Let's contact Mission Control first. Celine? Yes. What? You're carrying the radio. Could you please contact Mission Control? Right, you're right. Sorry. Don't apologize, just focus. We'll have time to grieve for these poor people later. What is this? Oh, relationships. Wow, relationship no, pregnant no, relationship no, pregnant no, relationship no, pregnant no. Lord, not only can you have a relationship with your sisters, but you can get them pregnant. And Celine can also get pregnant with your child. Good Lord, they thought ahead. Nothing. There's nothing but static? Do you have the right frequency? Yes, something seems to be jamming all frequencies. Fuck, that means the people who caused this slaughter are still on the moon's surface. What should we do? This settlement might actually be a defensible position. We need to clear every building and search for any remaining threats or survivors. Lily, Eva, Thim, you clear the outer perimeter. Kit, Celine, and I will investigate the buildings and keep trying that damn radio. Most buildings were already reduced to cinders or too dangerous to even enter because of all the fire. Two houses were more or less intact and empty. It wasn't until we searched the huts at the back of the settlement that we found our first sign of life. The man hiding in the dirty hovel was clearly too shocked to say a word. The relief was visible in his eyes, though, when he was guided from his former home, supported by Kit. In the next hut, we encountered a similar scene. Two girls were hiding beneath a table, shivering with fear and unable to speak. They clearly didn't consider us to be a danger and came with us to the entrance of the settlement. What now? We wait for the others to return. Check if any of the survivors need any medical attention. Right at that moment, we were shocked by the sounds of gunfire from the vicinity where I sent Lily, Eva, and Thim. What the fuck is that? The other group is under fire. Hurry! We ran towards the commotion, ready to shoot at anything. What we found was a mixture of both horror and comedy. Lily was being threatened by a muscular woman dressed in an outrageous armor, carrying a huge sword. It was as if she had walked straight out of some bad fantasy movie. But the threat was very real. Another similarly clad woman stood close by Thim, who had sat slumped close against a tree, unconscious and dead. Both women were looking at us, grinning as if daring us to make a move. Hold your fire! Grimlord, look! That's when I saw another warrior carrying Eva on her shoulder towards the jungle. Eva! Probably driven by instinct, Kit tried to do something heroic. He rushed towards Eva and found himself impaled on a sword. Don't try anything stupid. Her accent was thick, but I understood her well enough. Let her go. I'll let this one go if you behave. I stood helpless as the woman disappeared with my sister in the wilderness, my gaze alternating from Lily to Kit bleeding on the ground. I'll take my leave now. She slowly backed away, still grinning. We all stood motionless until she disappeared. Lily, are you okay? Just a little rattled. Don't you feel that nasty cut near your neck? What? No. Grim, they took Eva. I know. We'll get her back. Hold on tight. I have to check on Kit first. Kit, why did you run towards her? How bad is it? She's stabbing through his guts. If he doesn't get medical attention, he'll die. We need to get a transport ship immediately. But Eva, god damn it. She's gone, man. Nothing you can do about it. Hook has decided to conveniently wake up. Shut the fuck up, Thim. It feels so cold. Fuck. Celine, Thim, can you carry Lily and get the villagers? No problem, Grim. Yes, good. I'll carry Kit. Try the radio again, Celine. You might get lucky and get through the mission control. Celine and Thim moved faster than I could, dragging Kit along, who was bleeding like crazy. When I reached the settlement, the man and the girls were still standing where we left them, too stunned to act on their own. The radio is working again, and Mission Control sent us coordinates. They sounded pretty tense. Yes, this sure isn't normal procedure for training missions. I bet nobody expected an all-out surprise attack so close to human space. Who were these women? Beats me. Pretty sure we'll find out when we're debriefed by the brass once we're back on the ship. The coordinates we received were several miles away from our position. The trek took several hours because the wounded slowed us down. When we arrived at the rendezvous point, several other groups of trainees had already checked in. Many of them carried wounded or even lifeless bodies with them. The incursion of the warriors seems to have happened simultaneously on the surface of the entire moon. An officer motioned us to enter a transport ship, and after what seemed like ages, we were finally lifted off the surface of Lanon to the safety of the Yipatril. Wow. Okay, so that's just a teaser for this game that you can frickin' buy right now. It's called Tales of the Unending Void, and definitely check it out. By the way, Season 2 is still in development, so this is an ongoing story. At any rate, this is the Grimlord, and I'm out, and I'll see you next time on Grimm's Uncanny Valley with more great AVNs, and this one, if you guys like it, we'll see.